Off the Ball, GAA.
I mean, Jimmy's been incredible. Jimmy's, nobody has managed Cork more than Jimmy. And as you know, sure, he's the most, you know, he's the most adored person in Cork GAA, and I would say the most adored person in Cork sport.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Dara and Susanna are with us. Folks, you're very welcome.
How's it going?
Level of excitement is ratcheting up there.
Good morning.
Will is talking about Aoife Wafer taking part in lineouts.
Yeah, yeah. That is an exciting thought, isn't it? Aoife Wafer back in the squad.
So the news from Alex Codling yesterday was that she had taken part in some of the running early on, but then they obviously closed it down to the media. So he was confirming after that she took part in set pieces and lineouts in particular. And he kind of said, you can draw your own conclusions as to how far her recovery has gone. So they were very conservative at the start. They kept her in Dublin for a little bit longer than expected as part of a rehab after what they've always said was a minor knee surgery as opposed to being a major one. Linked up with the squad last weekend. Just, I suppose, to probably be there as a presence around the Japan
surgery
game.
Surgery is always minor to the people who aren't
doing it or undergoing
it.
You have
to do the rehab, yeah.
It's grand for you calling it minor, yeah. I just had a minor concussion. There's no such thing. It's a traumatic brain injury. Go on.
Indeed. I assume, look, she's not going to play against Spain at all at the weekend, but given that New Zealand was always the target when they were kind of putting the circle in the calendar as to when Aoife Wafer could get back in the pitch, looks like the Black Ferns game is a possibility, and it would seem that Dan McMahon is going to be fit for this weekend as well. Had kind of taken a limited part, but they said it was no fresh reoccurrence of the injury. So they were the two bits of injury news from Alex Codling yesterday.
All right. Dara, where are we going here? After one successful outing, we expect a second successful outing this weekend?
Yeah, you'd hope so. Spain had the displeasure of having to play New Zealand last week, so they took a fair beating, but they're certainly not pushovers, I wouldn't say. But ahead of this fixture now, we tried to do it last week. We tried to do a comprehensive player profile of each player in the Ireland Rugby World Cup squad. We didn't quite get there. I think we got through the scrum halves and that was about it.
There's a discipline issue here, is there?
10 o'clock timer, Dara.
You can't stick to what you say you're going to do.
You're back, Jer, so you know things are back in order. We'll get through it this week, I reckon. I'll start with the scrum halves. I got through them last week, so I'll just be really quick with them. Up first, Avian Riley. She started last weekend against Japan. She was very good. There's a massive battle going on there between not just two of them, but three scrum halves. I mean, Elaine was obviously on the bench, but Avian Riley got the nod in the end. Herself, she's from Roscommon. Now, that's been kind of debated recently.
Is she from Roscommon?
As who's claiming her? Galway are also claiming her because she's of the Ballinasloe club, as is Bevan Parsons and Maeve Dealey as well. But Roscommon have claimed her from Cree, County Roscommon. She's obviously was a big part in the recent success of the Seven squad. She was at the Olympics. Sorry, she wasn't at the Olympics. She got an ACL tear just before the Olympics, missed the Olympics, came back to Six Nations, and now she's back into the squad with a starting jersey. She made her come back, like I said, this year at Six Nations, but played the warm-up games as well. But she has got that first starting jersey, but that's definitely not guaranteed going forward, because, like I said, it is a stacked area. With the next player, I just mentioned Emily Lane being on the bench against Japan. She's 26 years old. They're all quite young, these scrum halves as well. The oldest being Molly Scuffle-McCabe. So it's quite an exciting prospect to have three really young, very high-quality scrum halves. Emily came off the bench the weekend. She was quite good. Like, in my opinion, I think she's the best scrum half there. I kind of thought she would get that first nod, but I think without a doubt, she'll definitely start a game at this World Cup, whether it be this weekend or even in the New Zealand game. We'll wait and see about that. But another player who spent a lot of time in the Sevens programme came into the 15s game in 2021 in place of Catherine Dane at the time when she was out with injury. And now she's gone to the Olympics as well. So she's come back once again to 15s and then she's fully embedded in that Irish squad. And finally, Molly Scuffle-McCabe. She's got a really interesting story. She's from Lucan in Dublin, but she's currently playing her rugby at Manawatu RFC in New Zealand. So people might look at that and think, someone who's playing in New Zealand maybe is the perfect player to put in for the New Zealand game because they understand how that game works. and how they play. That's, we'll see what Scott Beaman decides to do there, but she's another great option at nine. She didn't get any minutes at the weekend, but I would be extremely surprised to not see her at all at this World Cup. She's a quality player as well.
She's also wearing a bit of jewellery from her club in New Zealand as well. Mm. Like, there was a period where she was commuting over and back, whether it be 7 yeah. to 15s to play, which is, to me, seems absolutely bonkers, but that's yeah. the commitment needed.
Exactly, yeah. She wants to play in the World Cup and she wants to play in Six Nations, so it has to be done. She's a funny story that she was at the school that Fiona Coughlin was a PE teacher in, and she wasn't playing rugby at all in her teen years, but then Fiona Coughlin just looked at her in a PE session and said, you should give rugby a try.
She was playing hockey, which again, yeah. we talk about transferable skills.
But exactly, yeah. And she gave it a try and she got straight into an Ireland under 18 setup, and now look at her. She's in a World Cup squad, but I think she will get some minutes. I think it is very possible that they stick her maybe on the bench for the New Zealand game. She'll be very familiar with their style of game. So we'll see about that. I'll pass it over to Susanna now because that's all the scrum halves.
Yeah, Molly as well, just on her. She, from watching them, she seems to have the best kicking game out of all three of the scrum halves, which is interesting because it's not something that Ireland really looked to utilise yet, like that kind of box kick. But I think if she did come in, that could be something that could be added to the game and take the pressure off Dana. So I don't know. I'd love to see her play as well. She's yeah. class, but we'll have to see that situation. But in the front rows, it's funny you talking about people coming from different sports. I feel like that's just across this entire squad. That's the story for all of them. Most of them never anticipated playing rugby, except for a lot of the younger players. But we'll start with Niamh Jones. She's obviously the starting hooker. She's 26. She's from Ballymena in Northern Ireland, and she plays with Gloucester Hartbury over in the UK. So she moved there in 2022. And crazily, she's won the PWI, so the Women's Premiership over there, each of the three seasons back to back that she's been there. So I don't know if that's all her influence, but it's pretty impressive. And also in the recent Six Nations, a mad stat, she made 100% of her tackles attempted. And I remember at the time she was leading the stats in terms of Irish players making tackles. So to have made all of them as well is just insane. And she started every game. So she's a bit of an absolute machine in that group position. Then we also have Beth Budimer. She has just turned 20 years old. So she's one of the youngest on the squad. She's from Clonmel in Tipperary and she plays for Bows, so UL Bohemians and Munster. And she's the only uncapped player in the whole squad. So it's crazy. She was named in the under 20s last year when she was just 18. And then she impressed in this year's recent under 20 summer series. And as well as with Munster, where she was named the Munster Breakthrough Player of the Year for 2025. And then she got a call up to the squad, but she's never had a game in the green jersey. So massive for her. And it'll be, I doubt we'll see her in the World Cup, but you never know with injuries, we might. Then we've got Cliona Maloney McDonald. She is 32, so one of the oldest players in the squad. She's from Galway and she plays with Chiefs over in the UK as well. And she is the only player, as a lot of people know, in this year's squad who's been to a World Cup before, which just kind of shows the newness of the squad and how young they are. But she was part of that 2017 home World Cup, which included the kind of famous win over Australia in the bowl. I remember being there as a fan. I was probably 17 or 18. And it's crazy to think for me how much the game has changed and how different this World Cup is to that World Cup. So I can only imagine for her, it's insane. A whole different world at this this kind of campaign. And then in the props, we've got Siobhan McCarthy. She's 29. She's from County Clare. She played over in the UK as well, but her team, Worcester Warriors, were disbanded recently. They completely dropped out of the PWR after they lost their sponsor. So I'm not entirely sure where she's playing her rugby at club level, but she does play for Munster as well. And she is an identical twin, fun fact, Kate, who, and they both played for Railway, when they won that AIL in 2022. And then she went on to play for Munster and then debuted for Ireland last year. So she's had a pretty upward rise as well. We've also got Sive McGrath. Sorry, I'm trying to rattle through these as quickly as possible because there's quite a lot in the front row. But we've got Sive McGrath. She's almost 21. She's from Donegal. She plays for Cook and Ulster, and she made her debut at just 18 in 2023. And then she captured Captain Clovers last year. And again, she was a Camogie and a Gaelic player. There wasn't a lot of rugby where she was from in Donegal, but her dad who she says is one of her main inspirations, forced her to go to a give it a try event in Derry. And then he drove her to Belfast apparently 3 times a week. So really kept her going in rugby. And I suppose it's paid off now. Then we have Linda Dugang, one of my favorite props. She's 29. She's from Rush in Dublin. She plays for Old Belvedere and Leinster. And I think a lot of people know her story, but just to go quickly, she moved from Cameroon to Ireland at age 9. And she only took up rugby when she was on a work placement with Grant Thornton in college. And she was spotted playing like a tag rugby game completely socially, and then drafted into Wanderers. And then she quickly moved up the ranks. She moved to Old Belva to play IAL. But it's funny, when I was in Trinity, we were Leinster League club, so she couldn't play with us because she was playing with Belvo. But occasionally we'd have cup matches in like college tournaments, and she'd be allowed to play with us. And I remember one time we were playing DCU seconds, so not even their first, and she decided this was a good time to line out at prop for Trinity. And I remember I was playing 10 and we had one move that entire game. It was 9 hit me, I hit Linda, and go. And I think she broke through the line every single time she carried the ball, and she scored 9 or 10 times. And she started stopping before the try line and looking around for the rest of us to catch up so that somebody else could score a try. And she turned around and just nobody would have followed her because we all knew she was going to score. So she got really thick with us. But I think that shows, even from that stage, who was going to move on and make it in an Ireland setup and who the rest of us were absolutely being left behind. But yeah, we also have Neve O'Dowd, who's kind of in that starting jersey alongside Linda in the front row. She's 25. She's from Gorey in Wexford, and she also plays for Belvo. Similar story to a lot of the others. She played basketball and hockey in school and then signed up for rugby completely socially when she joined UCD because her older sister was playing. And then she only moved into the front row after she joined Old Belvo. So it's incredibly impressive that she's mastered the scrum in a very short amount of time, considering she's only 25, and she only has 17 caps for Ireland, but she has a really firm kind of hold on that jersey now. And then last but not least in the front row, this is a really interesting story. We have Eleanor Perry. So she's a prop, she's 28, and she's from Hertfordshire, England, and she plays with Gloucester Hartbury. And I don't think a lot of people will know her name because she actually has 11 caps for England, but the last of those appearances was in November 2020. So she hasn't played international rugby in 3 years. So that allows her to move teams to another country or represent another country. And she qualifies for Ireland through an Irish grandfather. But she had mentioned this completely casually to her teammates in Gloucester, which was Sam Monaghan, who's one of the co-captains, and Neve Jones. And then after we had a bit of an injury crisis in our props just before the World Cup with Christy Haney being ruled out, Monaghan just like mentioned this to Beamont, our head coach, and said, you know, she is actually Irish qualified. So he contacted her on July 21st. She made her first trip to Dublin ever. She had never been to Ireland before on July 27th. She was a traveling reserve in that Scotland game on August 2nd. And then she debuted for Canada a week later. So within 3 weeks, she completely like changed her whole rugby career around from thinking she was done with international rugby to now being part of a World Cup squad, yep, which is a bit mad.
It's bonkers, but I hate the idea of someone who has 11 caps from another country switching nationality.
Yeah,
I
don't know. Never. Do you?
Yeah.
But we need her. Imagine if we didn't have her.
You know, that's because we didn't put the time in and the effort and the energy in developing
it's
players.
It's true. Susanna, it does show us a major issue,
yeah,
in terms of our depth at prop.
Yeah, I'm in the Gregory Aldrete kind of stance on this, where he was asked about not playing for Ireland and he was like, look, I got grandparentage, I could have played for them, but I didn't come through the system there. I'm not part of that country, so therefore it didn't even cross my mind. I went to play for France. Like, to me, it just seems bonkers, and I appreciate that Scott Beamon has to cast the net as wide as he can and has to bring in players of a certain quality, but this idea of someone who's having a kind of a casual conversation going, ah yeah, I mean, I'm Irish qualified, so why don't I go and play for them? Like, someone who's played 11 games for another country, to me, that's too much of a commitment to another nation.
That's easy for Greg Aldrete to say, because he'd literally get into any squad in the world that he wants. So you never had to make that decision.
I think there's a difference, like, between Louis Barry played under 16 for Ireland and then switched to England and has had some kind of understanding of a connection, but never played senior international. I mean, 11 internationals is quite a lot.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
I also think the fact that she had never been to Ireland.
Yeah.
There's really very little connection there, it feels. She'd never met any of the squad except for her teammates in Gloucester. So I don't know, it does feel a bit odd, but then I'm also like, we wouldn't want to be without.
No, needs props. Must. The rules are the rules, and everybody else is going to abuse the rules. So, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But I don't know. It does. I haven't said that. She scores the winning try against the All Blacks.
100%. Best Irish woman of all time.
She's Irish, yeah.
Where are we going next, Darren?
We're going to... So I'll fire through the 10s and 12s because now, in fairness to Susanna, I think she's a few more players than me. She's doing the 4s and I'm doing the backs, but okay. I'll do a chunk here. So we only have two pure 10s on the Torn squad.
Is that because Stacey Flood can also play there?
Enya Breen is a good option as well. Yeah, so you've three or four that can play it. But we have Dan O'Brien and Nicole Foley, who are your specified tens, I suppose you could say. Dan O'Brien, I think this might shock a few people when I say this. She's 26 Ireland caps, but she's still only 21.
All right.
So for someone to be getting the keys to the entire Ireland attack is kind of mental at 21. Now, she's turned 22 during a tournament. I think she turns 22 the day after the semi-finals. So fingers crossed, she's celebrating her birthday. Still in England. She's of the Tullow Club, County Carlow. So she's now playing with Old Belvedere and Leinster as well. She used to play football for Carlow at inter-county level. But I think at some point she would have realised there's probably a bit of money in my rugby talents here. I'll stick with rugby. She's completely made that 10 jersey her own now at this point. Nicole Foley is a great backup option, but Dana's kicking and her composure in high-pressure situations at such a young age, she's the clear starting option. She had a tough Six Nations in which she kicked 66%, which in the end was actually okay because people might remember in that first game, she had a very tough time against
France.
It was France, yeah. And then she came back and scored all of her kicks against Italy, I believe. Yeah, Italy. But in the opening game against Japan, her kicking was on point. So I think she's kind of silenced critics in that way. And then to Nicole Foley, she wasn't on the bench against Japan, but I think she understands her own role in that she's there, not as injury cover, but should Dana go down, she will start. She might not get on every bench because we have someone like Enya Breen who can play 10, can play 12, even 15 if needs be. So Nicole Foley's role there is to be cover for Dana specifically. She is the oldest player in the squad at 32, which is a really good sign for Ireland. It could go both ways, I suppose, in terms of lack of experience. But like I say, Dana already has 26 caps at 21 years old. So that's experience enough, despite her age. So those are your two 10s. Moving on to the centres. Like I mentioned, Enya Breen, who is coming as also 10 cover. She's 26 years old still, even though she's been around for forever, it seems. She's 31 caps from Skibbereen in County Cork. She's now playing with UL Bowes, Blackrock and Munster. She can play, like I say, outside, inside centre, covers out half two. She will be one of the leaders in the Irish squad. She got minutes against Japan at the weekend, was very good. She brings a lot of composure off the bench. She's seen a lot in her international career. But she will have a tough time breaking into that squad. She's kind of in a situation which the likes of maybe Kieran Frawley or Jamie Osborne find themselves in because she's so talented and so versatile. She can cover different positions that a manager might look at her and be like, okay, I'm going to put you on the bench because you can cover so much for me. Why would I start you and risk you getting injured early on? So she'll likely be on the bench a lot, especially when we have Aoife Dalton and Eve Higgins in those centre positions. Speaking of Aoife Dalton, still only 22 years old with 24 caps for Ireland. She was my kind of player to watch for this tournament. I nearly should have picked Eve Higgins because she had an unbelievable game, but I'm still sticking with Aoife Dalton. She's a quality player. She's from Offaly, your own Offaly. Well,
I'm sure she would say she's from Clara as opposed to being from Offaly.
Yeah, maybe Clara first, Offaly second.
Definitely.
Of the Tullamore club, now playing for Old Belvedere and Leinster. I can't really call her an emerging star anymore just because of how good she's been for Ireland over the last year or two. But she's firmly cemented herself into that starting lineup. I think she played at 13 against Japan, which is kind of interesting. She can cover both 12 and 13. But She's a top player. I mentioned last week, I think she'll be a world-class player in a couple of years. She didn't have her best game against Japan, but it's one of those things where, because her center partner has such a good game, she didn't really need to stand out too much. That center partner being Eve Higgins, 26 years old from Lucan, formerly at Barnhall RFC, where she grew up playing with the men's team, or the boys team, I should say, because there was no girls team at the time of coming through. She's been a bit of a prodigy since she started rugby, really. She got brought into the sevens program really early at the age of 19. And she's been in the 15s game more recently. She was one of the batch of Avian Riley and Bethan Parsons when they were brought back into the Six Nations squads a year or two ago, where you're like, okay, these guys are extremely good players, high quality. They're going to add a lot to the squad. And they have. She had an unreal game, really, at the weekend, and you expect to see more from her like that, because she's a top quality player. And finally, we have Nancy McGillifrey, who was Susanna's player to watch last week, I believe. She's an interesting story. She's a 22-year-old centre from London, formerly playing her rugby in Hong Kong, but came over to England, was playing with Exeter, or still is playing with Exeter Chiefs, was in England camps here and there. But then she does have Irish ancestry, got the call to come into Ireland, and now she is with Ireland. She played in the warm-up games just before the World Cup, and she was very impressive. Now she does have a big fight in her hands to get into that midfield, because, like I said, there's three high-quality centres there. But
Susanna, why is she your one to watch her?
Well, the question was more about kind of up-and-coming, so
okay.
I was talking about someone who's maybe new to the squad. We haven't seen much of them. And I've seen her play with Exeter. And as I said last week, she reads the game incredibly well. I've seen her score a good few intercept tries on defense. She's not as big and powerful as Aoife Dalton. She won't smash someone, but she reads the setup very well. She knows exactly where to be. A little bit more like Eve Higgins. So maybe that's why kind of Aoife and Eve complement each other better than having Nancy and Eve on the pitch. But I just think she's incredibly skilled, especially coming from having played sevens her whole life. She's quick, she's rapid, and she has a lot of rugby skills. So that was my only reason. But I do think there's a huge amount of competition. But in terms of up and coming and somebody we haven't seen a lot yet, I think she will surprise us.
Okay, do you want to do your locks then?
Yes, because we need to hurry up. But there's only four of them, so it won't take me as long. We've got Ruth Campbell, who everybody knows. She's shot up recently. She's 22, born in Dublin, but played her rugby in Nace. And she only made her debut last September, which actually surprised me, against Australia. But then she made the squad for the WXV1 campaign in Canada and kind of cemented her place. She started four of the six games in this year's Six Nations and then came off the bench for the rest. We've got Emer Carey-Fallon, who I think you know well, Will. She is 27. She's from Portlaoise, plays a rugby with Blackrock and Leinster. But athletics was her first ever sport, which is funny considering she's a second row. She was a sprinter with Portlaoise Athletics Club. And she started on the wing, but she had two freak accidents when she was a teenager. She injured both her ankles and was out of the game for almost three seasons back to back. And when she came back, she wasn't as fast or as mobile as she had been before. So she basically had to adapt her game. And that's how she ended up in the back row instead of on the wing. And she's flourished there. So maybe it was for the best. Then we've got Sam Monaghan, obviously co-captain. She was born in New York to Irish parents, and she moved to Ireland at the age of 8. She's also playing in Gloucester Hartbury over in the UK, as I said. And she's another one with a big Gaelic background. She won an under-16 All-Ireland with Meath in 2009 as a goalkeeper. And then she also played senior football for Meath. But then she got into rugby after she started playing touch when she moved to Brighton in 2016 and then ended up joining Wasps in 2020. So she has been playing rugby for a while, but picked it up relatively late. And then lastly, we've got Fiona Tewitt, who I've included in the second row because that was what we expected. But she did start at 6 last week against Japan. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where she goes over the rest of the tournament. But she's 28. She plays with Old Belvo. And she also played underage Gaelic for Dublin. And then from there, she was brought into an Irish sevens camp where she played for 18 months before she came back and she started her 15s jersey with Trinity. So again, I played with her for a long time in Trinity and I absolutely love her. But I remember her being in the centre outside me, but she says she started on the wing. So maybe she started on the wing before I joined the college and then she moved into centre. But either way, she's moved into the forwards now and she's playing phenomenally. There's been a lot of talk about her this week after that Japan game. So it'll be exciting to see her over the rest of this World Cup campaign.
She's also ensured the kill is continuing on as a song beyond the hurling championship. We've got 6 minutes left on the meter, Darragh. So yeah, who are your back three players here?
Your mats are bad. 3.5.
Oh,
4.5.
Even less than that. Sorry. Go on.
I'll just run through wingers and fullbacks. So we've got Amy Lee Costigan, who's 30 years old now and only has 20 caps because she spent so much time in the sevens game, of course. Scored at the weekend, was immense as always. She was vice captain in Ireland during the Six Nations, so she's also one of those leaders on the pitch that are very crucial in such a young squad. Then we've got Anna McGann, 27-year-old winger from Moydrum, Westmeath. She was a very talented hockey player in her time at UCD, picked up rugby, and now she's one of our most promising players, I would say, in the squad. She had a great Six Nations. She's coming off the bench at the minute, though, so she'll have a fight in her hands with Bethan Parsons, who's the next player, who is off the ball in the slow club as well in County Galway. She's 29 caps for Ireland at this stage. Another player who spent so much time in the sevens game. She had a couple of really unfortunate injuries in the last year or so. She broke her leg twice within 5 months. So she's managed to battle her way back for this World Cup. And she had a great game against Japan. So expect to see her on the wing again this weekend. And to our fullbacks, Stacey Flood, 29-year-old fullback from Rathmines. Again, it's funny how many sevens players we have. Another very experienced sevens player. She's come into squad and made that fullback jersey her own. I don't expect to see anyone else getting in there. But we do have a very talented cover player in Maeve Deely trying to get at that jersey. Also from the Ballinasloe club in County Galway. She has 14 caps for Ireland now at this stage. She's struggled with injury over the last couple of years, but she's managed to fight her way back into the squad. And yeah, she'll have a tough battle on her hands, but she's a talented player and she's very specific to 15, but she can cover 10 if needs be. So don't be surprised if you see her play some minutes.
All right, Susanna, we've left it naturally late on probably the strongest part of the Irish team, but go on, back row.
I'll just rattle through them. People will have to look it up themselves if they want more info. But we've got Claire Bowles. She's 27. She's from Fermanagh and she plays with Railway. Got a lot of sevens experience. She went to the Olympics last year and scored a try against Great Britain. So it'll be interesting if we see her play. Got Brittany Hogan, player of the match last week, 26, from Clinchy, County Down. She plays with Old Belvo. Like a lot of girls, she played hockey and Gaelic growing up, but she was told she was too aggressive. So that was how she made the switch to rugby.
I'll bash people.
Then we've got Ivana Kiripati. She was born in New Zealand, but she's got a massive rugby family. She's 22. She's in the setup with Connacht, and both her siblings have represented Connacht at age grade level as well. So it'll be interesting to watch them come through. We've got Adele McMahon, obviously co-captain, 31. She plays with Exeter Chiefs in Connacht. Goes by the nickname Tricky. I was going to tell you all why, but I don't think we have time. So you're going to have to look it up if you want to know. But it's a good story, and it involves DMC's It's Tricky rap, which is always good. Yeah, do. We've got Grace Moore, plays her rugby in the UK with Trailfinders. She's from London, but she's also qualified through family. Another very talented athlete. And then last but not least, we've obviously got Aoife Wafer, who from Ballygarrett in Wexford. She's going to be playing with Harlequins from next season. Only 22, burst onto the scene last year. She actually debuted in 2022, but then she had injuries, which we're well familiar with at this stage, and then kind of became the player we know in the Six Nations last year. She made the World Dream Team in 2024, and she was this year's Women's Six Nations Player of the Championship. So
all our hopes rest on her shoulders.
Exactly.
There's no point in pretending otherwise.
Just on the Kiripatis before we go, absolutely bonkers that that's now an international player from that family. I remember they were there, her mum and dad both played for Buccaneers, her dad also coached Buccaneers. I remember those kids when they were literally on the pitch and were tiny running around to get the ball, in the spirit of the Barrett kids and also Robbie Henshaw. So it's a strong lineage of players who were ball boys and ball girls at Bucks that go on to play international rugby.
There you go.